United have been the form team since the restart, but they remain outside of the top four. Just 1 point. Leicester City started the season like a house on fire, but it seems like United are gradually catching up. The likes of Chelsea couldn't get into the transfer market at the start of the season, but Frank Lampard, I think, is doing a great job. Man United as well, a lot of people didn't give them too much of a chance, but right now they have all of their best players back, especially Paul Pogba and Bruno Fernandes. Another great performance from the young man.
What a game, really. They've been providing tremendous football. Bruno Fernandes has been amazing ever since he came in January, providing goals, assists, everything. He completely transformed the team. Not only Fernandes, everyone is performing in Man United, especially the young Greenwood. He's been on fire this season.
Welcome to Ball Benders.
Mubarak, Basso.
We get all of the football stories, bend it and deliver it straight to your doorstep. We start with that game. Happened last night in Birmingham, Aston Villa to be precise. 3-0. It looks to me like Aston Villa could get relegated at the end of the season. But that's story for another day. We're just focusing on Manchester United right now, the top half of the table. Obviously, the bottom half of the Premier League is very, very dull. The top half just keep getting results over them. But can Man United make the top four? It's very tight. The title has been decided already. Liverpool have got it in the bag. They keep winning games. We will talk about Liverpool later. But Man United, what's their chances on the top four this season?
I can see them doing it. I can see them qualifying maybe as third in the league, actually. They're only 2 points off Chelsea. With the form they're in right now, they're more than capable of getting third spot. I've been really disappointed with Leicester City recently, ever since the league started after the...
Does that also mean Leicester City would be the team to give way if Man United were to get into the top four?
That's what it looks like at the moment. Right now, United are the better team of the three, which are Chelsea and Leicester and Man United. With the form they're in right now, I cannot see them miss out on a Champions League spot.
It seems to me like United have finally got the final jigsaw. That young star, Mason Greenwood, out of the blue, he's doing bits right now. He's a local lad, obviously knows what it means to wear that Manchester United jersey. He's just been blowing on all cylinders. I'm so excited to watch Man United. You told me last night, as a Liverpool fan, it seems like a taboo to be excited about United. Yeah. But that's what it is right now. United are a very, very exciting side. And their fans have every reason to be excited, especially because of Paul Pogba and Bruno Fernandes and the young star I just talked about, Mason Greenwood. They made some history as well. First team to score 3 or more goals in 4 successive games. That's no easy feat for any team to achieve, especially for a team who were struggling to score goals. Anthony Martial playing as a number 9 nowadays. It's very, very special to see. But United right now, what's the future for them? Can they go on and challenge Liverpool and Manchester City for the Premier League title next season, or you feel like it's too early to count?
Potentially they could, but it's still kind of difficult if they get in.
But you realize if they go into next season with this sort of form, then the rest of the league should be wary.
Yeah, I can see that, but you don't know right now if they can keep their recent form on a longer term. It's just up for debate. But if they manage to get new signings, they could potentially be title contenders to the next season. I have a question for you. Do you think it is justified for Man United to be interested in Jadon Sancho when they already have a youngster like Mason Greenwood? Because if they get Sancho, it would actually stop the potential for Greenwood to be a starter. Yeah. Do you think it's justified for them to go for Sancho when they already have a special player in Mason Greenwood?
You know, United, they've been on this, they've been on Jadon Sancho's trail for a while now, and that was before Mason Greenwood totally blew up. Mason Greenwood has always been there from the start of the season, but he wasn't quite on this sort of form. Right now, I'm sure the hierarchy would be looking at Mason Greenwood and rubbing their hands together and feeling really, this is a special kid. Maybe we don't even have to spend all of that money bringing in Jadon Sancho. But they're two very different players. Jadon Sancho could also come in, play from the left, while Greenwood operates from the right, cutting in with his left foot. He does that really well. But it all depends on how United wants to set up next season. But right now, what they've got, they're playing a 4-2-3-1 formation. Matic and Pogba in midfield. And Bruno Fernandes just playing in that hole behind the main striker. So it makes a lot of sense if they're bringing in Jadon Sancho, just have a bit of choice to take from. Because Marcus Rashford right now, he's not at his best, but he's obviously one of the top players right there for Man United. So you want to think who goes to the bench if they bring in Jadon Sancho. But if eventually it happens, it means Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has a good headache, because selection headaches, it's always healthy competition. It keeps all of the players on top of their toes. And if they bring in Jadon Sancho, albeit for big money, because Borussia Dortmund, I'm sure they are not passing ways with their price for any less.
I agree.
So if they're bringing in Jadon Sancho right now, are they looking to bring in a player that would cost that much to sit on the bench? I'm not sure Man United want to spend.
He's not going to sit on the bench.
To sit on the bench. Yeah. And does it mean Rashford goes to the bench?
Yeah, this is where I disagree with you. I think they already have a gem in Mason Greenwood that they don't need Sancho anymore. They could potentially go bluster their team in different areas. I think for the wings, already sorted with Greenwood and Rashford.
Yeah.
Because if you bring in Sancho, then you would go in the way of Greenwood having much better time in the starting 11. At the form that he's in, I can't see that happening. He's already assured his manager that he's more than capable of being in the starting 11.
What happens to Jadon Sancho then at Borussia Dortmund? It seems like he already has his heart set on the move away. Mm-hmm. Even Borussia Dortmund, they're finalizing a deal to bring in a youngster. I don't know if they've completed that deal already. That's Jude Bellingham from Birmingham City, if I'm not mistaken. That should have been a very good replacement for another Englishman. It seemed to me like they already had plans to replace Jadon Sancho.
So who else is Jadon Sancho linked with? I've heard Man United, and who else?
It's just been Man United. There's been talk about Liverpool, but no, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't see it happening too.
Then he just might sit on the bench, and it's just the same thing for Liverpool. Liverpool obviously don't want to spend all of that money.
They already missed out on Timo Werner because they don't want to spend that much money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways, let's look at other results from last night. Bournemouth held Tottenham Hotspur to a 0-0 scoreline.
Boring.
Jose Mourinho has been talking. This guy, he doesn't need to say something funny for him to make you laugh. He's always a very, very animated character. I love him, by the way. My guy.
I do too. Yeah. I when he was not managing for a season or two, I actually missed him. I missed his usual statements.
He was on Sky. He was on Sky for a while.
Yeah, he was a pundit for a while, but I didn't actually like him as a pundit. He lacked the action aspect of him. So I like him more as a manager. When he's furious with the referee decision or something, he's a funny guy. And I really missed him when he was not managing for a whole year. But
did you hear what he said in that game when Hugo Lloris confronted Song Heung-min? Have you heard?
Remind me, what did he say?
He said it was beautiful. So hilarious.
He's a crazy guy, Mourinho. But let's talk about Mourinho. Do you think he's past his prime when it comes to managing?
That's a strong question. I would say so. I would say so. Because for a guy of his standards, he's gone two seasons now without a trophy. Mourinho's standard, he wins trophies every season. And for him to have accepted the job to move to Tottenham, Tottenham are obviously a big side. They've got a new stadium. They've got incredible fan base around the world.
But it's good. They've got good players too.
Are they the team to win trophies?
Yeah. But his recent performances with Tottenham hasn't been up to the usual standard of Mourinho. I think he ran out of ideas.
You want to cut him some slacks to say maybe he needs to go into the transfer market and get the players he wants to get.
He really has a good squad. I think it doesn't make sense for him to say, if you want me to compete, I need to sign more players. His squad is already better than more than half the table. It's really not okay for him to say that I don't have enough signings, I don't have enough players. He already has a very good attack, a very good midfield. Maybe defensively is not so much, but I think for me, I think Mourinho already ran out of his ideas.
And I'm not gonna agree on that. I feel like it's a function of him accepting the Tottenham Hotspur job. For his high standards, I want to compare him to the situation at Everton. Ancelotti, big manager, accepting a project. He's just believing in the process and believing he would get them.
Let's be honest. Ancelotti, the only reason Ancelotti accepted that offer because it was a big money. That's it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. How about Jose? Jose is getting big money as well.
Yeah, but you could say that too about Jose, but Tottenham is a much bigger team than Everton. They've been competing, so it makes sense for Mourinho to go to them. But for Ancelotti, he wants to finish his career with as much money as he can. That's the only way I can see it.
It's
difficult to compare between the two. But the way I see Mourinho right now, not only this time with Tottenham, even with Man U before he got sacked, he was not the same Mourinho as we know, you know. He just ran out of his ideas. Every team that plays against him already know how is he gonna play. So
I want to cut Mourinho some slack. While he was at United, he actually came second with a very poor team, and when he left, we could all see how bad that United side was.
Yeah, his only this was the last good season of Mourinho. After that one, nothing, absolutely nothing. So I really wish that he comes back. Actually, when he took a break, I thought that the moment he's gonna come back for any other team, he's gonna change his mindset. He's gonna change his tactical approach. But it's just the same usual Mourinho, sit back and defense. You know.
You feel like
I wanted him to make something new. I wanted him to invent a new tactical approach, be attacking a little bit, but it really disappointed me. So,
well, moving on, Everton against Southampton ended 1-1 apiece. The big storyline for this one is Danny Ings getting his 19th goal of the season. This is a guy who used to play for Liverpool. Did Liverpool make a mistake letting Danny Ings leave?
He keeps saving me every FPL round.
Same, yeah.
Yeah, and he just keep on scoring. I think we missed out on a very good player. Danny Ings has been very unfortunate with Liverpool, but now he's on fire. Southampton are very lucky to have him.
Do you see him making that step into one of the big teams in England or probably in Europe? Southampton, yes, they're a decent side. Ralph Hasenhüttl also doing a great job right there. A couple of good young players, but Danny Ings has tasted European football with Liverpool. I'm sure he wants to play at that level once more. But do you see him staying for a long while?
I think he fits for Arsenal for some reason. If Arsenal get him, it would be a good signing for both the player and the team.
But they've got Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and
there's been talk that Aubameyang is gonna leave. So if he leaves, I think Danny Ings is the ideal replacement.
Arsenal fans, let me know. Would you be interested to see Danny Ings play for Arsenal? Time will tell. But Danny Ings right now, he's having a great, great season with the Saints. 19 goals scored so far this season. And that takes us to the talk about the Golden Boots. Jamie Vardy has got 22 goals. He scored his 101 goal over the weekend. Joined the 100 club. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, 20 goals scored so far this season. Mo Salah as well was on the score sheet at the Amex last night, scored 2 goals for Liverpool, and that took his tally for the season to 19 goals. Joined third with Danny Ings, the guy we just talked about. But then, where do you see the Golden Boots race going this season?
It's very exciting.
Between three players.
Yeah, it is really exciting at the moment. They're very close. Just 3 goals apart from the first one to the fourth one. So if Mohamed Salah scores 2 goals or more in the next game, he could really be up for it. Jimmy Vardy has not been very good ever since
the restart.
Yeah, the restart.
And you know, it's not just about Jamie Vardy, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the whole city of Leicester right now. They've been badly affected by the virus. Right now they've gone back into self isolation. That's the city, and the football club. I think it's kind of reflective. But Jamie Vardy, ever since he scored the goal against Crystal Palace,
actually, Jamie Vardy has been on a decline ever since he got his newborn baby. Yeah. Before that, he was immense. He would score 2 goals in a game. He would score in consecutive games, everything. But after he got his new boy, not the same guy, unfortunately. I had to take him out of my FPL team because of that. But if he scored in the next game, possibly he could be the winner. But if Mo Salah score 2 or more goals, he could be up for it too. So it's a very tight race. Who do you think is going to be the one?
For me, I just want to tilt towards Jamie Vardy still, because Liverpool, they've won the title already, and we could see how much rotation has been going on. Sadio Mane did not start the game against Brighton and Hove Albion.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe time for Mo Salah to rest in the next game. We don't know yet.
I don't think he's going to rest. There's no way he's going to be rested.
Then why is Sadio Mane getting rested then?
Maybe he was really tired. Maybe he was asking for it, because he was starting every game after ever since we started. So maybe that's the reason why he was rested. But for Salah, I don't think Klopp is going to rest him, because he's already challenging for the Golden Boot. But I really want Salah.
Sometimes when I think about Salah, I want to feel like he's very selfish in terms of scoring goals. But then he makes so many assists still.
Yeah, but that's the way it is with goal scorers. They have to be selfish. If they want to keep scoring, they have to be selfish. Every great goal scorer is a selfish player. But I really want to see Salah getting the Golden Boot again, because if he does so, he's going to equal the record of both Thierry Henry and Alan Shearer of getting the Golden Boot 3 times in a row. So that's the only reason why I want him to get it. But
that would be wicked, you know. Ever since his first season, he's not looked back. That first season was absolutely crazy. When he came to Liverpool, nobody expected him to score that many goals. This was a winger, had scored, I think, 15 goals for AS Roma in Serie A. Mm-hmm. Came to Liverpool as some sort of he was brought in to give balance to that front line. Didn't expect him. If he had scored 10 goals that season, I'm sure Liverpool fans would have taken it. But he went on and scored 46 goals or what? Crazy.
Yeah, he was amazing in the first season.
And sometimes I feel like Salah is a victim of his own greatness.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Yeah, because he performed so good in the first season that everything he does that is less than the first season is not going to be counted as good. But he's been an amazing signing. Already a Premier League legend in my eyes.
Of course. Yeah. So who are we looking at for the top four race? Who goes home with it? I'm going Jamie Vardy. You're obviously going Mo Salah.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see at the end of the season. We'll get to know.
Okay.
All right, moving on. Let's go all the way to Stamford Bridge, where Chelsea young star Billy Gilmore has been ruled out for the rest of the season. Now, I saw this young star play against Liverpool in the FA Cup. Really, really, really strong performance.
He completely destroyed Fabinho at that game.
I tell you, man, it's hard to believe he's only a teenager.
Yeah, he was amazing in that game. I was blown away by the confidence he had, the passing range, the vision. Everything about this player is special.
But right now, it seems like Chelsea have a bit of a problem in midfield, because N'Golo Kante is out injured as well.
Well, that's going to be an issue for them in the title race.
Mm. And I know they talk about Jorginho leaving as well. I think he's kind of unsettled right now. But people like Ross Barkley have come in and contributed goals and assists. So maybe Chelsea might be home and dry. We wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
But Frank Lampard obviously has done a great job, has not had the luxury of going into the transfer market to bring in players. But Chelsea still in the challenge for the top four places. Very, very strong challenge. As we speak, they are third on the table. They've been doing very well since the restart. Man United as well, we spoke about them doing really well. But who would be the ideal challenger based off of what you've said since the restart? Who would be the ideal challenger for Liverpool and City next season? This season, was it a two-horse race? It was like a one-horse race. It was just Liverpool all the way. Yeah. And last season, it was Liverpool and City, just 1 point separating them. They would go into next season, that's Liverpool and City, even before kicking a ball, they would go in as favourites, clear favourites to win the title. But who would give them a challenge? Man United or Chelsea? Who stands a better chance?
Based on recent form, I would have to say Man United. But even Chelsea, with the recent signings they have acquired, they're looking a very, very good team going on to next season. Which is, by the way, there's been reports coming out saying that next season is gonna start in, after 2 weeks of the end of this season. What do you make of this?
That's fine, because the players have obviously had so much break. I'm sure none of them has ever had that sort of break in their lives, maybe when they get injured. But normally, you don't get players resting for that long, about 12 weeks or so. Mm-hmm. That was crazy. So for the football calendar to be balanced, then they have to get back playing as soon as possible. And I feel like that would be perfect. That would be fine.
Yeah, as a Premier League fan, that would be an amazing thing.
As a fan?
Yeah, as a fan, it would be an amazing thing, because we were already getting non-stop Premier League action. And good. To get the new season 2 weeks after, just only 2 weeks, is also very good. It's very exciting news.
I'm looking forward to next season as well. Yeah. We have special segments coming up on this podcast for next season. That'll be very interesting. Mm-hmm. That's when we start properly. We start doing FPL shows. We start bringing you new segments, just entertainment, just going on with it. You get me?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, moving on from the Premier League now. Okay, before we go talk about the title race in La Liga, one man has been speaking, former Manchester City defender, England defender as well. Julian Lescott is his name. You remember Julian Lescott?
Yeah.
What was he famous for?
His forehead.
Well, he is to talk about the forehead, but he's been speaking about Raheem Sterling. And he says only Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo are better than Raheem Sterling. You want to agree with that?
Nah, that's a very biased opinion.
You think so?
Yeah, very biased. He's not even the best in Man City, let alone be the best after Messi and Ronaldo.
Who's the best at Man City? Who's the best at Man City?
No
then?
Question about it. It's De Bruyne, of course.
Well, De Bruyne is a midfielder. We're talking about attackers now.
Attackers? Okay. Then Aguero. Aguero is the best. What, you don't agree?
Nah, I feel like Raheem Sterling, what he's been doing the past three seasons, Premier League champions, back-to-back. This season, he's got double figures already. Was at the World Cup, scored a couple of goals, got England to the semi-finals.
Don't get me wrong. He deserves
a shot.
Yeah, he's good, but I think Aguero is the better guy. Aguero has been Man City.
Aguero is past his prime now.
No.
He's past his prime.
He already scored more than Raheem Sterling this season, and he's been injured just a few goals more. Yeah, and he's been injured most of the season. For Sterling, he hasn't scored or assisted any goal in this year 2020 up until the league restarted. So Aguero is miles better in my opinion.
Well, Julian Lescott, big man, I think I want to agree with you. Raheem Sterling, I'm not going to say I think that was blown a bit out of proportion, saying he's only below Ronaldo and Messi. Raheem Sterling, is he one of the top players in the world right now? The answer is absolutely yes.
Yeah, he is, but...
And it's not just what he does on the football pitch. It's not just what he does on the football pitch. He's grown as a man. He's showed great level of maturity. The way he's been able to handle all of the talk about racism around England, I think he's a legend in my eyes.
Yeah, for his off the pitch personality, I think he's a very good person. But if you're gonna talk about his football, he's good, but he's not the best in Man City attack.
Alright, we move on to the brand new segment. We have a brand new segment for you guys. This one has us debating about a topic. We'll do this one every week. After we talk about all of it, all of the Premier League talk, we will bring on a segment where we get to debate about something that we believe in. And today we have Mason Greenwood, who has been doing very well in the Premier League. He's got 15 goals so far this season. And we're pitching him up against another young star who's been doing very well in Germany, Erling Braut Haaland, having signed from Salzburg for big, big money. And whose side are you on, Basil? Who's the better player?
I would have to go with Haaland.
Why Haaland?
He's the better player in my eyes. He's a goal-scoring machine. Ever since he moved on to Borussia Dortmund, has been scoring goals for fun. He also has that thing about him. He has the same character as Ibrahimovic for some reason. And he's just a fearless striker. For Greenwood, he's also an amazing player, don't get me wrong. But he has only been showing his promise lately compared to Haaland, who has been on fire since the start of this season for Salzburg and for Dortmund as well. So for me, it's there's no comparison. Actually, Haaland is the better player.
Really, comparison.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you something. Erling Braut Haaland, good player, obviously scores plenty of goals. But do you realize how much pressure there is at Manchester United? This is a young kid who's come through the academy. He's only 18 years old, and the other weekend he got people who are old enough to be his uncle, some of them even his dads. He got them crying like babies. This is a guy who's come through the academy representing a team like Manchester United, and it's not been going rosy for United. They need someone who would come in and help them stabilize the ship, and that's exactly what this youngster is doing at this point in time. Erling Braut Haaland has always had it easy playing for the top sides. He played at Salzburg. That's the top side in the Austrian league. They would always win every weekend. He moved to Borussia Dortmund. Borussia Dortmund, of course, would always win. All things being equal, they would win in the Bundesliga.
Even Man United, comparing.
United have not been the same Man United we used to know.
If you compare current form, if you compare Dortmund against Man United, Man United is the better team. So
Do you realize this youngster is the reason Johnny Hallow is sitting on the bench? That's an international who's got plenty of goals, plenty of Premier League experience. He's got an offer on the table from a Chinese Super League club, £400,000 a week, and he's got that player sitting on the bench, and he's only 18 years old. Think about that.
Yeah, he's an amazing player. I agree with you. And ever since he became a regular starter for Man United, he's been getting goals and assists. And yeah, he's an amazing player. But for me, I would prefer Erling Haaland. Haaland is just a goal scoring machine. This guy scored like a hat trick two times in a row, I think. And he did it with his older team, and he did it with his newer team. So I don't think it's fair to say Greenwood is better. Greenwood hasn't been performing this good for all the season. He's only been showing his promise.
That's what I'm talking about, man. He's not even hit his best form yet, and he's got 15 or what goals already.
Yeah. Okay.
This is Erling Braut Haaland was part of the Borussia Dortmund side that failed to qualify against Paris Saint-Germain in the Champions League. People like Neymar and Kylian Mbappe had him, they were mocking him, and it was quite funny to see.
Talk to me when he scored two hat tricks in a row, then I would consider.
Well, he's got five goals in the Europa League. Maybe if Man United
just said it yourself, you said it yourself, Europa League against Partizan, whatever, and I don't know what the other team is. This guy has been scoring goals in the Champions League and the German League, so
You wouldn't compare the German League to the Premier League.
Yeah, but the German League is good. It's not like Europa League. So,
but if Erling Haaland is as good as you say he is, why didn't he take the chance to go to Real Madrid? Why did he take the easy option? He knows Borussia Dortmund is obviously the easier option. He wants
it's a better option for him. If he goes to Real Madrid, he would end up just like Luka Jovic. If you remember that guy. It would just not be good for his progression as a youngster. Dortmund has always been a good side for young players, so it makes sense for him to go there. And he ever since he got there, he's been showing promise. He's been scoring goals. He's been taking defenders apart. The guy is a goal scoring machine, and you cannot compare him to Greenwood, who only got to the starting 11 like 4 or 5 weeks ago. So I'm sorry, but I hear that.
But would leave that to the fans. We'll allow the fans judge. This one is going straight on Twitter. We'll have a poll on it. Check it out at Ballbenders. Erling brought Haaland or Mason Greenwood. Who do you think is the better player? I've gone in the way of Mason Greenwood because of what he's done in the past 5 weeks. He's very, very sharp for United right now. And I think if he continues to play like this, then maybe we don't get to talk about Erling Haaland as the best youngster in the world anymore. Bass is going the way of Erling Haaland, obviously, because he's got plenty of goals in the typical Bundesliga out there in Austria.
And the Champions League.
In Germany. And the Champions League. All right, we'll wait and see what the fans say. Remember the Twitter handle at Ballbenders. We will have that thread running as from tomorrow morning. So make sure you check that out. Let us know what you feel. Erling Haaland or Mason Greenwood, who's the better young star? Let's end the podcast today by talking about the title race happening right there in La Liga. Real Madrid, they look like they're running away with the title right now. But at his assistance, it's just 1 point between them because Barcelona defeated Espanyol 1-0. Goal coming from Luis Suarez. Barcelona looked like they weren't going to score in that game. They actually scored from their first shot on target, getting 3 points. And that meant Espanyol had been relegated from La Liga. But then who runs away with the title this season? Do you see Real Madrid slipping up? They have a game in hand. They play tomorrow against Celta Vigo. If they win, then they regain their 4 point advantage. But if not, it will be cut just to 1 point. But do you see them bottling it?
The way it's going, I think Real Madrid has the edge over Barcelona with 1 point and a game in hand. The game tomorrow is going to be difficult, but I can see Real Madrid getting away with the 3 points. If they do, then I think the league is already done and dusted. But if something happens, if they draw or lose, then it's going to be difficult. But Barcelona recently hasn't been really showing any good signs of being at the top. Even last game they had, they won the game, but they haven't performed really good. So it's not looking very good for them. But the way I see it, it's going to be a Real Madrid title this season.
But do you realize that Real Madrid have just been scraping to wins in the last couple of games? It's been Sergio Ramos scoring from the penalty spot, 1-0, for like 3 games now. So maybe they have their work cut out for tomorrow night.
Well, as I said, if they drop points tomorrow, then it's going to be up for Barcelona to catch up. But if they don't, then I think it's done.
All right, we wait and see how it goes in La Liga. Really interesting title race. It used to be interesting in the Premier League, but right now Liverpool confirmed champions. So congratulations, Liverpool fans, tuning into the podcast. 23-point advantage regained already because City lost against Southampton over the week before they defeated Newcastle.
And for the first time since 1919, the champions of England are Liverpool.
Big Zoo. Sir Spyro.
This is Ball Benders.
Champions. And we've been waiting for time. Hating on us is a crime, so you never walk alone. And I saw it on the rise, you can see something special. This team is in its prime. Yeah, I'm a Liverpool fan, and the league is mine. You can say 30 years, but fam, I don't mind, because we put in the grind to see that trophy shine.
So, looking forward to the weekend action. Let's drop some FPL tips before we go. You've been doing well on FPL, man. You just recently leapfrogged me, but I tell you, man, I'm coming for you. I'm just gonna.
I scored
71 points.
78.
Wow, crazy. That's wicked.
And it was very disappointing that Mane did not score any points for me. If he scored a goal, I would have probably 80 plus or 90 plus.
You know, I was hard done by rotation. I had Garcia from Manchester City. But right now, I'm not even thinking twice. I'm going to transfer him out. Yeah. And I'm going
to
get...
I'll give you a quick advice. The only player you have to get in your team for Man City is De Bruyne. That's it. Don't ever get anyone else.
I haven't already. Okay. But so even De Bruyne was
getting Garcia is a big mistake. Oh. It's a mistake because you never trust Guardiola with his rotation. The only player I have in my team is De Bruyne. I recently got Foden because he's been involved, but even Foden is not guaranteed. So that's why I have another guy on the bench. That's a good alternative, who's Saint-Maximin. So my advice is only get De Bruyne on your team for Man City. That's it.
All right, listeners, you've heard from Basso, just De Bruyne from that Manchester City side, because Pep Guardiola is an absolute madman with rotations. A lot of people were so disappointed when he put De Bruyne on the bench the other weekend, but De Bruyne was available for the game against Newcastle. Basso had him as his captain, but De Bruyne only got an assist, did not score.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but that's not bad. I got 17.
Captain choice for the weekend? Captain choice?
Salah.
Salah. I don't have Salah on my team. Maybe I would exchange Salah for Sadio Mane then.
That's the only transfer I did.
It's quite difficult for me to strip Bruno Fernandes off the captaincy. He's been doing really well. He's been last game week he scored me 30 points. This game week I think he's got 26 points already. So it's quite difficult to strip.
I had him as captain for 2 weeks in a row, and he scored me 30 points. So I agree.
Why did you change?
I don't know. I just felt De Bruyne is gonna be a better option because City are not
even having anything to fight for. So,
but because they lost last game against Southampton, I was expecting a response, a big response, and that's what they did, winning 5-0, and I was expecting De Bruyne to be highly involved, but. That was unfortunate. He only got one assist. But yeah, maybe it's for next week. I wouldn't choose anyone other than Fernandes or Mohamed Salah. But I'll pick Salah.
All right, guys, we've come to the end of the podcast. Another episode done. We look forward to the next one. We hope you guys have enjoyed this half as much as we've enjoyed recording it for you. Basso, time to go.
Yeah, it's been a very good episode. Looking forward to the next one as always.
Alright, make sure you follow us on our Twitter handle at Ballbenders. We drop football content every now and then, so make sure you join us and continue all of the conversation right there. I've been Mubarak and he's been Basso, and we are over for now.